Father, we thank you for the life that you have given us. Through your death and resurrection, we thank you for what this day means to us if we have believed in you. Father, let us celebrate you and be focused on you and the life that you want for us. Father, as we open your word, give us eyes to see and ears to hear. And Father, as we study your word, let the words that are spoken be yours. Give us ears to hear. And it's in your name I pray. Amen. How many water haters do I have in here? It's okay. I am a reformed water hater. I was growing up, you all heard this from somebody, drink water, it's good for you. And if you're a water hater, you've said something like, it tastes like nothing. My mother, the whole time I was growing up, said, drink water, it's good for you. And I hated it. And she said, if you want to love water, just keep drinking it. And the more you drink, the more you'll like it. And I went from somebody who liked something that you would never drink if you just saw it, where it's really dark and carbonated, right? Water haters, you want it almost black. But you would never drink that if you just didn't know, but you want it, you know. But I got from that point to where I just want water. That's it. Just give me water. And then I found out something by mistake, by accident. I'm not making a commercial today, but so I'll hold it where you can't see it. But I was in the grocery store one day, and I saw this bottle of water, and it's very expensive. And it was on sale for $1. I was like, I got to try that. I wished I hadn't. Because all water is not the same. And this, oh my goodness. I had one of these and I drank the whole thing nonstop. And because this, which is what I normally drink, is just water and it's been reverse osmosis, whatever, purified and adified. And this is just what came out of the ground the way God intended it. And they're not the same. Take out your Bible and turn with me to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to read verse 14. But those who drink the water I give will never thirst again. It becomes a fresh bubbling stream within them, giving them eternal life. What Christ did for us on that Easter Sunday is gave us life. Gave us something we could never get otherwise. When he conquered the grave, came out of the tomb, victorious over death, he changed our lives. Now the thing is, people will try to find things to fill a void that only Christ can fill. And they will try to fill it with all kind of things. And some of them are good. But they are not living water, which is what Christ gives us when we accept Him as our Savior. And when you've had Christ, when you have had Him change your life, nothing else is the same. And nothing else will satisfy. You can look all over the place, as people in our world today do, and try to find things to fill the void. I like to say that we are all created to be addicted to something. We are composed to be addicted to something. The something is Christ. But we live in a world where people get addicted to all kind of things, whether it's drugs, alcohol, lifestyles, money, TV, get addicted to things that we are constantly looking for satisfaction and can't find it. Have you ever been trying to find something to eat and you didn't know what it was and you just kept eating stuff and you kept going, nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not it. Y'all laugh because you've been there. You think, I want something, but I don't know what it is. That's what so much of the world does today in looking for Christ. They are looking for something. The something is Christ, because nothing satisfies like the living water of Christ. Turn over with me to chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief does not come except to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. So, in a very simple nutshell, Satan is working to destroy us. And Christ has given us life. Now, there's something I want us to zero in on, because I think so many times we as Christians miss this, and it's the very last part of this verse. Christ came to give us life and that you may have it more abundantly. When we hear abundant, we think a lot. Right? Abundant is a lot. So often, many times, people will misinterpret this verse that God's supposed to give us everything. That's not the life He's promised us. The abundant here is not a lot. The Greek word is referring to a quality of life that is superior. Superior to any other life that you can imagine. Well, what does that look like? You see, if Satan is working against us and Christ wants us to have a life that is more abundant than anything we could imagine, superior to anything we could imagine, it's like these two bottles of water. They're both water, but this one, I promise you, is superior. Because it is pure. There's nothing else been added. And our challenge is to live a life that is focused on nothing but Christ. And when our life is pure and focused on Christ, it is superior to anything else. And nothing else matters. When I was preparing this, I read a story about a little boy. He was 12 years old in the late 1800s. And he lived on a farm, and he didn't go to town very much. They were rather poor. And he saw a poster at school that the circus was coming. And he got so excited. He had never been to a circus. And the thoughts came through his head. He could not even imagine what that would be like to go to the circus. So he came home and he asked his dad, "Hey, can I go to the circus? It's Saturday. And it only cost a dollar." Now, in the late 1800s, that's a lot of money. And the dad said, "I don't know, we'll see." And so the week went by, and Saturday morning came, and the little boy went to his dad, and he said, "Can I go to the circus?" And he said, "Yes." And he handed the little boy a dollar, and it was more money than he had ever seen in his life. And the little boy, dressed in his Sunday best, took off out the door, ran to town. As he got to town, the circus parade was coming. Some of y'all are old enough to remember. When things came to town, they came in a parade. And the little boy's standing there watching the parade, and he sees the band come by first, and they're playing the tunes. And he's so excited he can't stand it. And the next, the animals come by in the cages, and they're growling, and he just thinks it's incredible. He cannot believe he's here. And as he watches this whole parade comes by, last comes a clown in the big floppy feet, and he comes up to him and he gives him a little balloon. And then the boy hands him the dollar, and he turns and he runs home. And he's so excited for what he saw. But he only saw the parade. He didn't see the circus. He didn't know he didn't see the circus. There are so many Christians today who are not living the abundant life that Christ promised them. They're just living the parade because they don't know any better. They think they're living the abundant life that Christ wants for them, but when in reality, they're only living the parade. Because to move from the parade to the circus takes surrender, complete surrender, and a complete focus on nothing else but Christ. Nothing added, focused on Christ. Turn with me a few more pages over to Luke chapter 6. Verse 38, Luke 6, verse 38. "Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Now, when you think about this verse and wrap your head around it, have you ever tried to put more in a bag than supposed to be in there? And you shake it and you press it and you shake it and you press it and you shake it and you press it. If you want the abundant life that Christ wants, one where it is so packed full that it is running over in your lap, it has to do with not the amount, but the fact that we give everything to Christ. Everything. And we're focused on nothing but Christ. All the additives that we put in our life to make them good, all the flavor that we put in there to make it good, we get rid of all of that and be focused on nothing but Christ. That's an abundant life. And if you haven't experienced it, you're watching the parade and you don't even know how good it is. I read a story this week about King Frederick William III of Persia. He came at a point in time through battles and measures of the kingdom where he was financially in trouble. He was out of money to keep the kingdom going. And he tried to figure out exactly how to come up with more money. And he came up with this plan that he would ask the ladies of his kingdom to bring him their gold and silver jewelry. And in return, he would give them jewelry made out of iron and engraved on it said, "I gave gold and I got iron." And this worked far more than he ever imagined. Because you see what happened is as the ladies came to give their gold and iron to the king for the kingdom, it became out of vogue, if you will, to wear anything with gold or silver. And what became the in thing to wear was these iron jewelry, because it was a symbol that you had sacrificed for the king. And if you were still wearing gold and silver, people looked down on you because you didn't put the king first. If you and I want an abundant life that Christ paid for us through his death and resurrection, it comes out of a pure life focused on Christ and not worried about anything of this world. This morning we're going to remember what he did for us in a time of communion. And I pray that if you're just watching the parade this morning, you recommit to a pure life focused on nothing other than him, because the circus is beyond what you can imagine. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for what you've done for us. And as we enter this time of communion with you, Father, purify our hearts, cleanse us. Let us do in remembrance what you told us to be solely focused on what you gave up for us, that we may have life. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. I invite you to take your communion. There's nothing special about this little wafer or this juice, but it's what we do with it that is special. It's the memory of what Jesus did for us. As you know, the night before he was crucified, He had a last meal with his disciples. And he took the bread, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body broken for you." They had no idea what he meant at the time. They didn't have hindsight that we have of being able to see what he went through for us. But this is his body, and we remember that. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your body, for what you gave up for us. And we remember this through this act of communion, and let our hearts be focused on you. And it's in your name we pray. Amen. He took a cup and he said, "This is my blood poured out." It had to be to wash our sins away. How precious this is. That because of his blood, we are washed white as snow. The thing that we forget and Satan wants you to forget is the minute that you accept him, he doesn't even remember your sin. He sees you as sinless because of this blood. Pray with me. Father, thank you for allowing us the act of remembering what you did for us and how your blood was poured out for us. We thank you that it cleansed our sins. In your name we pray. Amen. Scripture says that after that they sang a hymn and went out to his death. They didn't know that. But today we're going to sing a hymn and go out and celebrate his life. Stand with me and let's sing.